You've had a lot of experience being a freelancer and you would have faced different kind of clients. Is there any experience that you think was so ridiculous which you want to, you know, point out now?
Actually, there have been a lot of experiences, but this one pops into my mind, you know, at the top. So I used LinkedIn to find potential clients, and I got a message from this guy talking to me about one project and how he'll connect me to his HR personnel and how we can proceed. So the HR person, he contacted me the same afternoon, and he was briefing me about the project and how crunch time is and how much exposure I'll be receiving, you know.
Exposure is a red flag.
Yeah. So that itself, you know, gave me like some red flags in my mind. And then he told me that there was a budget constraint. So I asked him, like, what do you mean by budget constraint? So he didn't respond to that. And he got back with the question, like, how much I charged. And I told how much I charged. And he just thought for a second, and he repeated the same phrase. You know, we have a budget constraint. And I was like, you know what? Just f*** you, but I couldn't say that. So, like, politely, I said, you know, I'll look into it and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, I think anytime someone says there's a budget constraint and he says that you'll get a lot of exposure, that's a red flag.
Yeah, just get out of it.
Welcome to another episode of Writer and Geek Show. Today we're going to talk about some freelancing and a little bit of startup experience.
This is going to be fun.
So we all, I think, start our career with a 9-to-5 jobs. At least I did. And I know that you also did. Yeah. The moment you get into such kind of a job, maybe after a couple of months, for most of us, the first thing that comes to mind is how to get out of this. Hmm. And there's a lot of, internet sensations who say that, you know, you need to get out of this 9-to-5 jobs and stuff like that. I mean, some people are really comfortable with that and I have no issues with that. But I, for one, at one point wanted to get out of this. So I tried something, you tried something else. We both ended up in different places. I think you were more successful in getting out of a 9-to-5 job.
Probably.
Because you are working as a freelance writer now and you decide your own hours and all that stuff. So do you want to go first on how your experience was?
Yeah, definitely. I'll go first. So I think you were probably more happy to like get into a 9-to-5 job when you got your first job. And that was not the case with me. So I wanted to be, you know, something else, do something different, you know. My aim was to be a musician, but you must be knowing that it didn't materialize.
I mean, you guys were quite successful once in a while. I don't know what happened after that. You just split and you went out in different directions.
You know, college bands. That's what happened. Well, so I started working in an HR company. I worked as an HR executive and I was not happy there. I worked over there for like probably 2 years. There were a lot of issues, including, you know, management issues. But the greatest issue was that I was not happy there. It was not something which I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. 2 years into it, I was fired. they were laying off people and I was one of them.
I remember that day. I was sitting in office.
Yeah.
You called me the first.
Yeah, yeah.
You called me first before even calling home, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
even
yeah.
reaching home.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you said that, you know what, they were laying off people and I got fired. I said, congratulations or something like that.
Exactly.
For me, it was like, you're out of this.
So the thing was, they were laying off people, a lot of people out of, you know, they were like 500 employees or something. Or they laid off like 100 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sad, but I was happy. Because, you know, the first thing I did after that, me and one of my ex-colleague, who also got fired, we went and watched a movie. So, yeah, it was actually a turning point in my life. I had this opportunity to, you know, do things which I wanted to do or just go back and search for another 9-to-5 job. There were a lot of stuff going on in my life at that point of time. So, yeah.
So I think you said that was your turning point. I agree to it, because for any change to come in our life, sometimes we need a big kick in the butt, you know, to even get up and think about something else other than work. See, most of us become so comfortable with this 9-to-5 jobs, and even though they're not internally happy about it, they get used to it. They're scared to come out of it and try something else. In your case, you were fired, you had no other option, right? So that is when you started thinking about other stuff to do in life.
Yeah, the only thing I was looking forward to was the PF, but which doesn't come in for 3 months or something. So what I did was, I have this friend in Kerala, so we had this plans to make it big in the music industry, and you know, we moved to Chennai and we thought we'll do a lot of stuff and get into the music or film industry, but it was more or less a learning experience for me. I learned a lot about music and how to record and stuff, how to, you know, improve my skills as a guitarist and not as a vocalist. Yeah, I can say that, but you know, it was more like a learning experience for me, not just in music but also in life. I was able to, I was not with my family at that time. It was the first time after, you know, I was in 12th grade or something, I was staying separately from my family. So I learned a lot of things during that 7 or 8 months, almost 1 year, I think. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out, as you would have known. And I came back to Bangalore. I was broke. I had nothing to do. I was at a point where I was very depressed, kind of. I had nothing to do and there was no money. And I needed to start afresh. There was no point going back to the music field, because I knew that I couldn't do it on my own and I had no support, and I didn't want to go back to the HR field because it was something I hated so much. So anyway, I knew that within a few months I'll have to do something about it, and I didn't want to go back to the 9-to-5. So I looked for other opportunities like writing, because I used to write a lot. Earlier, not like a blog kind of thing, like personal diary and all that. But I also had a blog at some point of time back in, early 2010s. So I wanted to give it a shot. And one day you came and told me, why don't you check out some, freelancing sites or something. And you were the one who introduced me to Upwork.
Yeah.
And Fiverr also, I think. Fiverr, but I didn't, get too much into it. And that's when I started, checking out Upwork. I logged in, I registered. Thankfully, they accepted my, application. And it has become a lot difficult nowadays, mm-hmm.
Back then, there's an application process now?
See, you have to submit all your credentials and then upload portfolio and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be very easy, as you had to just fill in the information and submit it to them. They would just review and get back to you within a day and get you verified. You can apply for work.
I think it was not that way earlier. In other sites, at least, you can just create an account and start applying for jobs.
Yeah, but these days, because a lot of profiles are being created on a daily basis and it's very popular, Upwork.
Right.
So they have created, better screening process, and not many people are able to get into working with Upwork. Unless they have a great portfolio and credentials.
Yeah, Upwork used to be two separate sites earlier, Elance and Odesk. They combined together to form Upwork.
Well, getting back, I updated my profile on Upwork and they thankfully accepted my application. And I had one blog. Mm. I think you remember that blog.
The WordPress blog.
Yeah, so... It was, if I have to put it in words, it was shit. But I had no choice and I put it up and I started applying for jobs. In Upwork, you have to, when the jobs pop up, you have to submit a proposal saying that how you will bring value to the project, to the clients. And because I had no previous work experience in writing, there was nothing I could do. I was just sitting at home and applying for jobs every day. And waiting patiently, actually impatiently, for someone to respond to me. And I was also attending a few interviews, to get back to HR job, because there seemed to be no end to this misery. Anyway, after around like 20, 25 days, one of the clients, one guy from Amsterdam, he responded to my message. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, is this really happening?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got my first job. It was a content writing process for a few topics. And I got paid like $25 for the trial test. Wow. Okay. But the thing was, he already had, other writers. And funny enough, he didn't choose me. But I got that money and I was like, I have to start another portfolio. Again, you gave me that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And with that money, I invested it in GoDaddy and registered the domain called Rambling Giant, which is my portfolio now. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Plug it.
Go check out ramblinggiant.com.
Yeah. So that's how Rambling Giant started. And after the first client, it almost took like 1 month to get the first client. And that didn't work out properly. And in freelance business, the thing which matters most is that you should have clients who are there on a long-term basis.
Yeah, more consistent.
Yeah, more consistent. Because the thing is like, there are times when you don't have any work.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be sticking with clients who give you like one-time jobs and all that. But if you have a, long-time client, they'll be able to give you work on a, regular basis. And you will be able to sustain yourself. If you have like few long-term clients, you can take work which you want, which you like, and preferably have the control over what kind of work you want to do. So, yeah. And once I got rejected in this process, I again started sending proposals. But the good thing was he actually gave me a good review.
Mm-hmm.
Though he didn't select me, the thing was I had given it my best and he understood that. He gave me a good review. And from then on, after 10 days, I got my second client. Then within a month or two, I got my third, fourth client and all that. I got a few clients and that's how it started. And finally, after having a good portfolio and good, projects which I can back myself up, I got some clients through other sources. Mostly through LinkedIn. And because Upwork charged 20% service fee, it became not that feasible for me to work through Upwork because 20% of the charges go to Upwork. And again, when you have like foreign clients and all that, the transactional fee also will be deducted from the payment which you get. And also converting dollars to Indian rupee. There are also a lot of money you lose. So because of that, being an Indian again, I wanted the whole amount. So that's how I got out of Upwork and started working for independent clients. The thing is, Upwork is safe.
Right.
But working as an independent freelancer gives you the power to work for whatever thing you want to. But there is a kind of, trust between the client and the freelancer, which should always be there. If you don't find that kind of trust, you shouldn't work for the client. So, Upwork is more safe. But the thing is, outside of work, you'll get all the money which you're paid. So that's why I jumped from Upwork to, being an independent freelancer.
All right. So that is quite an experience. Just going back to what you said, you said LinkedIn gave you clients. So that thing really works? I mean, I have a LinkedIn account, but I don't remember using it for anything else.
Okay. Again, I think I'll have to thank you for that because I remember back in college days when LinkedIn was, not that great in India. They didn't have a proper base in India. Once you were working on LinkedIn and I was like, I asked you like what it was. So you told me like this is the thing. So that's when I joined LinkedIn. And from then on, I started making connections, adding people who might be useful in the future. And right now I have around like 2,500 connections through LinkedIn and it's paying off actually. And my work as an HR helped in that process because, if you're an HR, people will automatically come to you and like try to contact you so that they can ask you for jobs. And the funny part was, it mostly doesn't work unless they have a requirement. They're not going to look at your application even if they are the right person. So keep that in mind. Anyway, so LinkedIn, how it worked. I updated my profile and I put as put myself registered as my. I updated my profile and you know, the header was up working as a freelancer with Upwork. So the thing is, there is a growing trend these days. Like companies are hiring more freelancers because they don't have to pay them on a, you know, monthly basis, and they just have to pay them for the work they are doing. So it's pretty easy, and there is no need to have any specific office space to provide for them or give them basic amenities and, you know, all that benefits. So more and more people, companies are opting for freelancers these days, and it actually helped me because content writing is also something which a lot of companies need. Mm. If they have good content, they'll get more hits in the on their websites. And so I started building my connections. I started connecting with people who are into writing and who are potential clients. And automatically, you won't believe it, I used to get around 2-3 messages through LinkedIn every week. And most of it was bullcrap. But there comes, now and then there comes one person who is genuine and who you would probably be happy to work with. And that's how the journey started with LinkedIn. And I have to tell all to all you professionals that if you want to progress, use LinkedIn. You can actually use LinkedIn to your advantage. But most of the people are like, no, it's useless. They are still stuck with Monster and Naukri. But Monster and Naukri are not going to help you at all.
Well, that's a good information to know. So if you're looking for a job change, first thing you need to do is update your LinkedIn profile.
Also, I had to like switch off the, you know, availability thing so that I won't get any messages from LinkedIn. Okay. People who are...
I think my profile is mostly hidden or something. I don't know. I have not been an active user of LinkedIn since a long time.
Okay. So I've talked a lot right now, about 18 minutes. I don't know. Now let's get to your experience. You are currently working a 9-to-5 job, but you had an experience in between to escape the 9-to-5 routine, and it was through a startup, right?
Yeah, so I do work a 9-to-5 job, not strictly 9-to-5. It's just a corporate job. Sometimes the hours go beyond 5 and sometimes not that much, but I like my job and, you know, we really have flexible hours. But before coming to this company, I did work for a couple of startups, which was again, for me, a way to escape the 9-to-5, which I used to do before that. It might be a little odd that I came back to this, but there are good reasons actually. I used to work for this corporate, which was my first job. I was happy. I was happy for almost 2 years, 2.5 years.
I remember.
That is exactly when, you know, I had this feeling inside of me that, you know, what am I doing here? Coming here in the morning and sitting here till the evening and all that stuff.
The burning desire.
So there was this itch inside of me to go and explore something else, you know, something that would really make sense to me. Like, I really liked this designing and development and all that kind of stuff. So first job, to an extent, did not have extensive, you know, work in that area. So I wanted something else. I started looking for startup jobs, actually, which would put me in a more creative route and which would help me develop my skills technically. So what I did was I saw a posting for a senior design engineer job. I didn't have much experience with designing and stuff like that.
What platform?
It's design. It's front-end design.
I mean, Naukri Monster.
I don't remember, actually.
Okay.
I think it came through some consultancy or something.
Okay.
I don't remember. So I got a mail saying that this is a requirement. So what I did was I looked at the requirement. It said something like need experience with front-end design, whatever the tools, Photoshop and all that stuff, HTML, CSS and all that. So I knew few of these things, but I was not an expert. I created a resume which said, you know, I have experience with all these things and stuff like that. But I got through... I got an interview with them. The date was set. I went and met them. So before going for that interview, I did some homework. So what I did was, this company was a medium, you know, very small company, and they had been running for almost 5 years when I was joining them. They had a website. I went to their website and I did some research on that, you know, looking at the code and looking at the SEO aspects of the website and looking at other stuff. I found out ways they can improve their website. I kind of found out some faults which could be rectified. I went, had an interview. I knew things about design because of, you know, like a side project, I used to do some designs for myself and, you know, learn some HTML, used to build some projects and all that stuff. So when they were asking me all these questions about design, I was able to answer them. But in the end, just before finishing the interview, I asked them permission to give them some feedback about their website. And they were very interested to know all these things, right? They were genuinely happy to, you know, hear the feedback. I gave them a proper feedback. The way I knew that I got the job was, once I finished this, the MD of the company, he said, Vishnu, your first project once you join would be to clean up our website and make sure it is good. So, and that's how I got to know. And I worked there for almost like, I think 6 to 8 months. It was a good time, but probably wasn't what I was looking for.
So the point over there, the takeaway over there is like, if you can be a bit unique.
Yes.
When you're attending interviews or like applying for a job, it might be the difference between you getting the job or not getting the job.
Yeah, there are 2-3 things here, okay? First thing, when you're trying to apply for a job, always look at the job description. Look at what they really are looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't just send them a generic resume which you just copy-pasted from someone else and, you know, just put some words and all that. No, look at what the requirement is. Find out what are they looking for. Create your resume which aligns with their requirement.
Customize your resume.
It should be completely customized. If you have experience across, you know, you're good at Excel, you're good at PowerPoint, you're also good at Photoshop, and you're also good at writing HTML, CSS. If the job requirement says that you are a senior design engineer, that is a role that is open for you and you're interested, you don't necessarily have to show all your Excel experience and highlight them, right? It's a waste, because no, it's not even relevant experience. On the other hand, if the same person is applying for a job which is, let's say, more into Excel heavy stuff, like creating dashboards and creating presentations and stuff like that, then you should focus on your other skills and probably, you know, tone a bit down on your design skills and stuff like that. That's what is a key takeaway from that.
Yeah. So I'd like to add on to this thing. As an HR executive, I've come across a lot of resumes, at least like 100 resumes on a daily basis. So what I've noticed, there is a trend that people are just copy pasting from one another. You know, the projects, the profile description, everything looks similar. You know, you'll find the same things everywhere. So try to add something unique into that and customize your resume. Don't send the same resume to all the job descriptions. And I've seen some people trying to, you know, show off their skills, putting in everything that they know. They might not even know some of those things, but they'll just put it in that. And you don't have to mention about the projects, you know, highlights and all that. Project details, one part will be there, right? You don't have to mention everything that you did. Just give them a description. The thing is, when you get a call from a consultant or a person who's interested in hiring you, they should be able to like talk to you about stuff. You don't have to write an essay in your resume. Let them talk to you and get to know about what you have done in that particular project. So, yeah.
Another key thing is, be it any company that you're attending the interview for, always do some homework. Learn about what they're doing, what their business is. Do they have a web presence? Do they have a website? Go and learn a little bit about them. And that, there are two things that will let them know that you're interested, genuinely interested in the company when they interview you. Second thing, it will really tell you whether you really fit into that company. For me, it helped in a way that it was a little different. I went into the technical aspects of their website. Because the job was technical, I looked into their website and understood what are the flaws. I proposed them as with solutions when I was undergoing the interview. So that helped, you know, show my credibility to them, saying that, okay, this guy is genuinely interested. He's gone through our website. That means he searched for us. And he's found out certain things which we could improve. And that shows his capability as a technical guy.
that brings me to another point. It's not just your talent or skill which matters. It's actually your attitude which brings out what you can do to a project or a company.
Right.
So if you have the right attitude while proceeding with the project, then you can do wonders.
Yeah, attitude is important, and also understanding what the requirement is and aligning yourself to that is very important.
Yeah, about attitude, one more point. I was on a call with one of my clients today. He's not from India. So we were on a WhatsApp call and we were just talking, you know, about regular stuff, not about the project and all that, you know, just to reconnect with each other and stuff. So we got to the point that we were talking about why he hired me and how he hired me and all that. So he told me, see, I know you can write deeply, like get into get the deeper meanings and all that. But the main point for which I hired you is because of your attitude. So that's when it struck me, you know, though I don't consider myself as a good writer. But the thing is, the way I approached to him, the way he received my responses and all that, it's because it's through that he understood that this guy's got the right attitude. And that's how he hired me.
Yeah, so that was my experience there. And it continued for almost 3 more years in a different company, where I had more freedom to kind of work, and it gave me a good taste of how startup works, which is much different from what a 9-to-5 job provides you. So if any of our listeners are planning to join a startup, yes, movies portray them as very cool, and you know, serials like Silicon Valley and all make you feel that, you know, it's awesome. It is awesome, actually. It gives you a lot of really good exposure, which you might not get in a big corporate company. You might learn things end to end. If you are into technology, you'll learn from writing code and putting it into a server and, you know, a domain and all that stuff. But it is a real big risk as well. Startup companies are normally not that stable. I was never fired from a startup company, but you never know whether your job exists tomorrow or not. Any revenue change that happens in a startup has a direct impact on you.
Yeah.
So you don't have the comfort of working in a big company. But I think it's worth the risk because of the kind of exposure that you get. This is what I've learned. But then for certain reasons, I decided to come back. And the company I work for, I joined there like, you know, 2 years back. And ever since, I'm continuing there. But those startup experiences definitely helped me to get into, you know, the present organization as well. Coming to join this company, I prepared myself, you know, I learned a lot about what they do and stuff. So which really helped me in the interview. In fact, it makes the interviewer feel that, you know, you really care about this job and you're not just going and applying just because you want salary at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So if you're going for an interview, simple tips, prepare yourself in the, you know, whatever field you are in. Look at the requirements that they have. Align your resume and yourself to that. Third thing is, do some homework about the company. So make your recruiter feel that, you know, you really fit into the culture and you show your interest by learning about the company. So when they ask you something about, you know, do you know what we do? You should be able to answer it. That shows that you are genuinely interested and you think you should be a part of it. So
see, the idea is not to sell yourself. The idea is to let them know what kind of value you'll provide to the company.
Yeah.
But the thing is, most of the people, they want to like show off what they know and they are concentrate more on the communication skills and all that. So that's not the thing we should that you should concentrate on. And I think the same rules apply to freelancing. It is very risky. And you never know if you'll succeed or not. But persistence pays, because most of the people who have asked me questions about Upwork, they have just started maybe like 2 or 3 weeks and they're like, I have not got any clients. The thing is, you have to stick to it, make a plan, and then apply it. Just keep on working. It might take 2 months to get your first client. But finally, once you get it, it'll just start flowing. Just don't give up and do what you can. The main thing I'll have to point out here is that when you try to make a plan and try to stick to it when it comes to your career and all that, it generally doesn't go well if you are into freelancing or, you know, startups and all that. The best thing would be not to stick with a plan.